are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
It's great to be with you. My name is Scott. I get to serve as the interim teaching pastor here. It's good to be with you. Before I even get into the message, I just want to say this. I don't know if this happens to you, if you've been coming to Mission Point a while, if this has been your church home. My wife and I, our family, we've been here for almost 3 years, I think. On occasion, because of just all the stuff that's happened in the last year, people will stop me and go, "Hey, how are things at Mission Point?" And they usually make a face like that, like, you know, and I look at them like, why the face? And here's my answer. If you ever stumble, like, I don't know what answer to give. Here's my answer. Let's see, last week, I don't know if you were here. We did parent-child dedication, first service. We had six, seven families up here. But we did. It was actually a real number. We had that many families. Second service, we had a couple families. And let's see, we continue to dedicate families. We've had church every week except for one, but a bunch of people canceled that week too. So we continue to meet regularly. We're doing this whole loads of love thing. Like, that's crazy. Like, there were people on Facebook saying, like posting on Facebook, "Hey, if you need your laundry done, show up. There's people here paying for it." Like, they didn't even know why. They just knew that there was a church there loving on people. And then we're gonna wipe out Kroger next week, because this church has been doing that for, I don't know, like 100 years or something. Like, they've been like doing that. Like, this church is alive and well. Is it different? Yeah. Is it hard? Is there stuff? Yeah. But we're a functioning church and people are loving Jesus and moving forward. So if you stumble to give an answer when people ask, I just tell you, that's what I tell people. So I'm just gifting you with that. There's a little nugget for you. So a little bonus track today. Did I tell you my name is Scott? I think I did. Yeah. We do two services I can never remember. So we're starting a new series today that is ambiguous on purpose. We're calling it Stand. Stand. And here's why. Because you can fill in the blank with lots of different things on this. And our hope is that this series becomes deeply personal to you, that the Lord reveals to you something throughout this entire series that we're looking at. So stand can be taken a lot of different ways. You can talk about standing near people, right? You can talk about standing in. You can talk about standing up. You can talk about standing down. You can talk about standing for. You could talk about standing through. There's a lot of different ways that you can twist this, look at it, read it, see it. And we did that on purpose. Because our hope is that through this series, that the Lord reveals something to you personal. That he reveals something to you uniquely for you. This idea of standing up, and I knew that there would be this potential take on this, that some people may go, "Oh, awesome. So we're going to talk, you know, with all the stuff going on in the world, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about what the church is going to stand for." Maybe. Or maybe God's going to reveal to you what he wants you to stand for. Our hope is that this isn't interpreted or taken or received as anything political. Rather, we want it to be personal. Or there's a temptation when we talk about stand. Oh, we're going to take a stand and we're gonna claim a stake on this issue that's social. You know, the hope is that this isn't social, that this is spiritual. That the Lord reveals to something uniquely to you, 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 to me, to all of us. I wasn't picking on any person. I was like, all of us uniquely, that the Lord will reveal to us what we need to stand, when we need to stand up, who we need to stand for, who we need to stand with, what he's calling us to do, when he's asking us to stand down, that's what he reveals to us. I feel weird preaching this particular text today, and here's why. I'm just going to be vulnerable. When I pick a text like this, when we go through a series, I always feel a little bit like it's cheating because I'm going with a classic. Like it's a classic text. Like when I say it, you're going to go, oh, got it. And you're going to be tempted to check out because you may think, oh, I know where this is headed. And it's possible that you will be 100% right. And it's also possible that through a story that's very familiar to you, that the Lord may want to reveal something new. And if you're tempted to just check out, think about this. You've watched some of your favorite movies. You watched them more than once, right? So just hang in there. You've like your favorite song you've played on the radio and you listen to over and over and over. Just hang in. The story that we're talking about is Daniel chapter 3. And if that doesn't sound familiar to you, try this on. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or for those of you younger in the crowd, Rakshak and Benny. Okay, if you grew up watching VeggieTales, that's who we're talking about, okay? We're going to Daniel chapter 3. If you want to join me there, we're going to spend some time in Daniel chapter 3 looking at the story. And again, I already told you, some of you are like, oh yeah, got it. And you just hopped on Amazon, right? You're like, I'm going to get ahead, right? Here's the thought. As we read the story, open your heart, open your mind to maybe where the Lord is calling you to learn something new, to receive something. Again, let's go back to the beginning of this, to receive something personal. Not something corporate, something personal, something spiritual that he's leaning into you to receive this morning. Let's go. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If you don't know the story, you're going to catch up real quick. There's some characters we'll talk about as we go along. The first character we meet in Daniel chapter 3 is King Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king. King Nebuchadnezzar makes an idol of gold. I'm not going to spend a ton of time. There's lots of commentators and really smart people that have spent time talking about why he chose gold and the size of this and all of that. We don't have time. Go nerd out on that on your own. I've done that before. It's really some really cool imagery, some cool stuff. We're just not going to spend time there today. King Nebuchadnezzar, though, made an image of gold, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. What we need to know, this is a really giant, tall gold statue. He perched up on a hill. That's what we need to know, what we need to take away. He gathered and he summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image that he set up. He throws a party and expects everyone under his authority to be there. Everyone. That's why he starts with all of these officials. And then it wasn't just the officials. It would have meant the people that were under the authority of those officials as well. So there's no one that is left out in this invite. And I love how the writer here gives us these things multiple times so that we can get an accurate picture in our head. This repetition that he's using here is to help us really drive deep into the imagery and to be able to picture this and to see it, which is probably why this story is one of the classics, so popular with kids and, you know, all of the details. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials, they assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound," and then we go through these instruments, "as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." Now pause here for just a second. Jewish people would have known the very first commandment, even if they didn't memorize all 10, even if they stopped at verse 1, at the first commandment. The first commandment is you shall have no other gods before the Lord your God. That's it. Just, if you just remember, don't you, let's forget the other 9 for just a second. There's just one. It's interesting to me that Nebuchadnezzar takes on the first one and says, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to build this idol. I just want you to worship it. And so because, let's just forget for just a second, the other 9. they would have known at least one. We'll have no other gods. And the king says, here's what I want you to do. I set this up. I just want you to worship him. And whoever doesn't do that, whoever does not fall down and worship, will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. But surely they knew the one commandment, right? So they're not going to do that. But look at how quickly this turns. And if you've read the story, you know this. So as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all other kinds of music, all the nations and the people of every language, they fell down and worshiped the image of gold the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Immediately. Well, was there time in there? Like, did some of them think about? I don't know. But the writer was pretty clear. As soon as it happened, everybody, boom, face down. It struck me. We've read this story to our kids. We've watched the VeggieTale versions. We've seen other animated versions of this. You know, I've taught this in children's church and saw it on flannel graphs as a kid. You know what? Some of you have to Google what a flannel graph is later. It'll be okay. You'll look at it and you go, what? It was pre-VeggieTales. So it struck me this week as I read this multiple times. As many times as I've read it, I've seen it, I never paused for this moment to think how sad it is that these people just in a heartbeat just surrendered and gave up. Think about it for just a second. They've claimed their allegiance to God, and in just a heartbeat, why is that? Is it fear? Is it maybe, just maybe, because, everybody's doing this. So everybody's in. So they're all in. Why is it? But the writer goes out of his way to say everyone did. And I don't know if anybody was looking around, but they all just did it. And it just struck me how sad that is, how quickly that happens. And then it hit me. Oh, no. Where have I done the same thing? Because here's the truth. And this is where this gets personal. And I'm gonna let you soak in this. There's no public confession on this, so nobody's gonna have to disclose this. But let me ask this. What idols have you bowed to? In scripture, we see an idol is something that we set as a priority above God. And here's this thing. Here's what I know. Every single person in the room, just like I went around the room like you and you and you, every single one of us has idols where we have set something up in its importance above God. Let's go around the room again. The same for you and you and you and you and you. That's not as comfortable to point to people now is when I'm talking to lives. I like pointing for good news. But here's the thing. We all have idols. Every single one of us have those. And all of those idols ask the same question. Every one of those idols ask the same question. Will you bow to me? And we've all at times won, and we've all at times lost. And our idols all look different. Some of us have the same ones. That's why there's group therapy, and that's why there's books that, you know, help us overcome those idols. But some, like, they're all unique circumstances and reasons we got there and reasons we picked that one over other ones. But we all have them, every one of us, and they all demand something from us. They demand that we bow to it and not stand. So we're all in this story now, because we've all got idols. So let's keep moving though. Daniel 3 verse 8 goes on. At this time though, everybody is face down, and I'm gonna say everybody is face down because we learn very quickly in verse 8, at this time some astrologers came forward and they denounced the Jews and they said to the king, they go approach him, look at this, may the king live forever because they're scared of him. May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears, we get the details again, who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, that they must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever doesn't fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. King, you said that. But there are some Jews whom you've sat over the province of Babylon, their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you've set up. So isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that the writer of Daniel said everyone bowed, and then the truth comes out. Not everyone bowed. Parents, you ever hear this? Everybody's got a cell phone. Not everybody's got a cell phone. So I should give you, amen, thank you, right? That's a mom right there, okay? Everybody's doing this. Well, not everybody. Everybody, nope, not everybody. It feels like everybody, but not everyone. And it's revealed here that there's three guys standing, not bowing. Now, what's interesting is as they come and they say, King, there's these three guys in the back who you gave authority to. If you flip back and you read Daniel 2, this is what's wild. Daniel 2, the king was going to have all of these wise people killed, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were one of them. And the king ended up sparing their life because Daniel had interpreted a dream for the king and told him what it meant. And then the king was like, oh, that's awesome. You're amazing. Like, we're going to spare these people. And Daniel goes to bat for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the king had actually spared these guys. So now the king is furious because he was like, hold on. Number one, you're under my authority. Secondly, I did you a favor and you owe me. How dare you? And here's what's wild. The only thing they did was to stand. They didn't stand in the back and go, what are you guys doing? Everybody up. They didn't make a scene. They didn't picket. They didn't throw things. They didn't go, all right, Shadrach, Meshach, get in here. We're going to take a picture. We're going to post it. We're going to tell everybody, you know, that they've got to join us and we're going to start this movement. All they did was just silently and quietly go, you guys, I don't think this is a good idea. Yeah, I'm not doing it. All right, are you with me? And I do think it's ironic that there were three of them. They weren't alone. One of, if it's just one of them, it's like sometimes, just so you know, when we feel like we're alone, it is a lot harder to stand. But most times we're not alone. I think it's ironic that there were three of them. Like, all right, you in? Yeah, I'm in. I'm not going down. Not me either. Not me. All right, we're in it together. Right, let's go. It's funny. Most faithfulness, a lot of times that we see, and the spiritual giants that I've looked ahead in my life that I've noticed, most of them are just quiet and subtle, and they simply faithfully stand for truth over time. Most faithfulness, not all, most faithfulness is quiet and still and solid and consistent. I'm not telling you what to do or how to act, and are there times that we should be loud and we should stand up? Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna let you wrestle with the Holy Spirit on that and to know when to do that. But I have been moved and stirred by the faithfulness of the ones that just stand quietly, still over time, and let the Lord do the work. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do that, and it caught the attention of Nebuchadnezzar. So he is now, in verse 13, furious with rage. Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they're brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar now, he's face to face, nose to nose, looking at them. And Nebuchadnezzar says to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I spent all my time building? Now, when you hear the sound of the, let's repeat, let's go over this, because I picked the band on purpose. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, I'll let this pass. You're good. But if you do not worship it, make no mistake, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And I love this question. This guy had no idea the weight of this question. Then, if you don't do that, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? How quickly he forgot. He forgot what happened right before that. Right before that, he has this crazy, terrifying dream. He can't figure it out. And he was like, somebody find me somebody who's going to interpret this dream. But if they interpret it wrong, I'm putting them to death. Daniel stands up and says, King, I can interpret your dream. And without hearing the dream, Daniel tells him the dream and then interprets the dream. Try that on for just a second. Without hearing the dream, Daniel tells him the dream and then interprets the dream. And the king says, that's insane. How did you know that? It must be your God, who is an amazing God. Holy cow, Daniel, everyone should worship the God that you worship because he showed you my dream that you didn't have, that I had, and you told me what it meant after you didn't even have the dream. And then he has the courage to say this, what God will be able to rescue for you from my hand? Ooh, somebody call on me. I think it's the God who told Daniel about your dream without having the dream and then told him what the dream was and then he told you and then he told you what it meant. It's that God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew. And they replied, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we actually don't need to defend ourselves to you in this matter. Because if, let's just say if, King Nebuchadnezzar, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve, we know this. He is able to deliver us from it. The God that we serve has power, has authority. You remember your old dream thing? Like that was just a warm up. The God that we serve, oh, he has the power to save us from it and to deliver us. And he is the one who will deliver us from your majesty's hands. And then this text here, this is what fuels me, haunts me, drives me in certain moments. This thing that they say next blows my mind. They say this, But even if he does not, pause here for just a second. What? Even if he does not. You mean, Scott, there's times that I ask God for something and I am actually in the right position. I am correct and I'm standing up for him. And there are times that he's not going to intervene. Don't shoot the messenger, but yes. Sorry. I've got a list of my own questions that when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask. Because I asked for things that I believed were like, that were going to be helpful, that were going to be right, that were going to be good for the people around me, that were going to be good for the family that I was with in the hospital, that were going to be good for my own story, my own kids, my own stuff, for the people that I love. And it didn't work out like I asked, even though it seemed consistent with what God would want. So you know what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego do for us? Here's what they do for us. In this moment, they take us out of the storybook of all the little children's cardboard books that have this beautiful happy ending. They take us out of that storybook, and here's what they say. There are times when it's not going to work out like we thought. And they invite us into the story, and they put us in the story. But look at how they approach it. But even if he does not, which is a possibility, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Here's what they say. We believe that he can. We hope that he does. But even if he doesn't, we're going to stand. I believe that he can, and I hope that he does. But even if he doesn't, we won't bow. I believe that he can, and I hope that he does, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to do what he asked me to do. We had a wild thing happen in our, in our family years ago. We, I was working at a church in Fort Wayne, serving that church. We love that church, great people. And an opportunity came for us to move back to Warsaw. We love this community. We love this town. And we went back and forth and back and forth. Like, do we do this? Do we not? And finally it was like, yeah. But then it came kind of the practical part of that. Like, oh man, we got to tell people. And then we got to sell our house and then find a house because it's too far to drive. And I know some of you do it, but we're like, no, we want to live in this community. And so we're like, oh, I don't know. And so we remembered, like we'd had some friends over one time and they were just hanging out at our house and they're like, man, if you guys ever decide to move, let us know. You know, we'd love to move to this part of town. And so we hadn't told anyone that we were even moving. And they went to our church and so it was going to be kind of weird. So we invite them out to dinner. We go to Applebee's, right? So we're at Applebee's, Southwest Fort Wayne. And we sit down, they're like, hey, it's been a while since we've had dinner. And we're like, yeah, this is fun. We're like, all right, so now that the lady took our drink order, like we just need to kind of tell you what's going on. And so we tell them like, hey, we're moving. They're like, oh, you know, what's happening? We're telling them, they're like, yeah. Okay, all good. But here's why we're having dinner. We're gonna need to sell our house. And that's a big process and it's a lot of work and da-da-da. You guys had mentioned this one time. And by the time our food came, okay, no joke. Like we'd already ordered our drinks. We tell them we're moving. By the time the food, like the chicken fajita roll up showed up on the table, by the time it landed there, we'd agreed on a price, a date, and they were buying our house. Yeah, like it was amazing, right? And like after we tell the church, like we're moving and here's what's happening, you know, and it was all good, but we got to start to tell that story to people. We're like, and not only that, like we've already got a buyer for our house and these people are buying it. People are like, oh, it's awesome. It's such a God thing. It's such a God thing. It's so amazing. We're like, yeah, God was so good and he provided for us. It's so good. And yeah, it's like, oh, it's a sign that you're supposed to move, like leave, get out of here. And you know, and it was like, yeah, it is. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And then I'm in this conversation with this person. They're like, oh, it's such a God thing. Such a God thing. And I'm like, all of a sudden my brain starts hurting. Because I'm like, wait a minute. Before we lived in Fort Wayne, we'd moved to Buffalo, New York, and we were there for a couple years. Loved our time in Buffalo, made some great friends, got to do some cool stuff. And when an opportunity came for us to move back to the Midwest, to move to Fort Wayne, this buddy called and he was like, hey, we really feel like we want you at our church. And I was like, yeah, we really feel like we should be there. So we moved from Buffalo to Fort Wayne. And we needed to sell our house. And so we put our house on the market in Buffalo in October. Was it October? Yeah, we put our house on the market in October. And we didn't want to do two mortgages, so we didn't buy a house. So we moved our three kids. Our daughter was 6 weeks old, moved our three kids in his little tiny apartment with a newborn and two little rambunctious boys with lots of energy into this little tiny apartment. And our house in Buffalo sat on the market for 8 months while we paid a mortgage and utilities for a house in New York that we weren't living in, that no one was living in, that like it just sat there, no showings, no nothing, while we're with three squirmy little kids in this apartment in Fort Wayne doing double rent, mortgage, double utilities and all that. Don't get me started on how much taxes are in New York. Like it was insane, like what we were paying. Must be a God thing. Right? Or is it? You see, sometimes we put God in a corner and we say, I believe that you can, I hope that you do. And when you do, I'll worship you. I believe that you can, I hope that you do. And when you make that happen, I will serve you. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made it very clear their position. I believe that you can. I hope that you do. But even if you don't, I'm obedient to you. I'm going. I'm going to stand. Regardless, King, regardless of what your authority says, regardless of what you're asking me to do, I surrender to his authority, not to yours. And we got to be careful that we tie our obedience to those outcomes. Our obedience should not be dependent upon our outcome unless it's the outcome of what he has already done for us. We're not perfect. That's an example. We struggled through that. And we're like, I'm telling you, as we're writing checks back when we used to write checks for a mortgage, right? And we're like, why this house isn't selling? And we're calling the realtor, you know, like, hey, you had any, you know, open houses? She's like, it's Buffalo in February. Like nobody goes outdoors, right? Like you got 3 feet of snow in front of your door. Like, no, you haven't had an open house. We're like, okay, I guess it's a God thing. It's not a God thing. Didn't feel like it. But I believe that you can, and I hope that you do. But even if you don't, Lord, I'm going to worship you. We've got to be careful tying our obedience to the outcomes, because Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego made it very clear. I'm not going to bow. I'm going to stand. And here's where we turn the corner, because we gave you one of these, and some of you are like, what? What? How's he getting there? Here's the crazy thing. The story ends, if you don't love, like, I don't want to, like, I need to give the ending. I didn't give it to first service. I'm going to give you the ending. Here's the ending of the story. They get thrown into the furnace. They get thrown in. And then one of the guys standing next to the king, he goes, didn't we put three people in there? He's like, yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he's like, there's four. And one of them is standing with them, looks like, and the language of this is so crazy. Because Jesus hadn't been born yet, and this guy identifies the fourth guy there as a son of the gods. Now, he was off by one S. That was the son of God standing with them. Because here's the thing. He stands with us, y'all. He stands with us in our pain, in our hurt, in our frustration. And we don't stand up for him, so he will stand up for us. He has already stood up for us. And if we are in Christ, he stands with us as we walk through that. So much so, just want to point this out. Right around the time that Jesus was going to be killed, there's this moment recorded in scripture where he goes to the Father, and he was, the text tells us he was bleeding like through his pores. There was so much pressure. And he was like, if there's any other way, let's do that. But if not, I'll do it. I believe that you can. I hope that you do. I believe that you can give another way. And I hope that you do. But even if you don't, I'm going to the cross. I'll do it. And he did. What we get now is we've reduced it to a plastic cup and what tastes like styrofoam. We've reduced it to this. But here's what it is. It's a way that we, and I love communion for this reason. It's a way that we light up our senses physically, like when it touches our tongue. And I know it's different because it's like, yeah, I don't eat stuff like this all the time because we probably shouldn't eat much of this stuff that we gave you, right? But like, here's what it does. It lights up our senses and reminds our body, which then all the things, and I'm not smart enough to know how this works, but the taste buds send a message to the brain and they remind us up here in physically, in our physical form, that his body was broken and his blood was shed, so that we get immersed in that message, so that when we need the courage to not bow and to stand, that it's there. So that we remember that. And so Jesus, with his disciples around him that night, they're having this meal, and he rebrands the meal because the bread went around the table and it meant a certain thing. And that night, the bread went around the table and Jesus grabs the bread and he breaks it. And they're like, oh, he broke it. And he's like, yeah, this bread, this is my body, which is going to be broken for you. And I'm going to stand for you and stand with you. And every time you do this, I want you to remember me so that you gain the courage, the memory, the recall to know that I stand with you. And if you are in Christ, I stand in you and with you so that you can resist the temptation to bow and that you also will stand. We do that together this morning. He didn't stop at the bread because then he passes a cup around the table. And the cup also gets rebranded because the cup was a symbol of sacrifice. And then Jesus rebrands it and he said, this will be my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Meaning he was saying, I'm doing that work. I'm going to not bow to any other way to do this. I'm going to take a stand for you once and for all. And I believe that even in my death, I believe that God is big enough to raise me from the dead 3 days later. He called a shot. It was like, I'm coming back in 3 days. And he tells them, every time you do this, remember me. So we do that together this morning. We don't obey God to get him to stand up for us. We obey him and serve him because he stood for us and stands with us. That's why we do it. The songs that we're gonna sing, we're just gonna end with these two songs. What's the first one? What's the name of the first one? I forget. My King Forever. Yes, thank you. It's a declaration. It's a declaration because the world, watch this, the world wants us to bow to it. The world wants us to bow to all the other things and the stuff and to not look around and to think we're alone. And the world wants us to bow. And we now have the opportunity to send a message to the world around us and even to our own brain, mind, heart, our own system. You're my king forever. You're my king forever. To maybe just give us a little courage to walk out here today to continue to stand. I'm gonna invite you to stand. Would you do that? And I'm gonna pray for us and then we're just gonna sing. We're gonna sing these two songs to close out together. Lord Jesus, I love you. God, thank you for standing up for us. Thank you for standing with us. God, we believe that you can, we hope that you do. But even if you don't, Lord, we stand. We stand for you. Give us the courage to do that. God, thank you for what you've done. We give you this time. We give you this worship. Lord, we give you ourselves. Speak to us through this time together.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.